Welcome back to Healing Trauma. I'm Lynn Fraser. One of the foundations of being friends with our own mind is to be able to work effectively with our thoughts, with our responses to our thoughts, and with the energy and sensations in our body that are stimulated by our thoughts. Thoughts can be positive. When we think of someone we love or a beautiful sunset, we will often find a little bit of relaxation in our body. We enjoy that kind of thought. Negative thoughts tend to be the ones with the most power. They really attract our attention. Our survival system is set up to notice danger so that we can protect ourselves. When we've had a traumatic experience, we've been hurt, we've been scared, this becomes a traumatic memory that triggers an energetic response in our body, a sensation, a feeling. Our shoulders might tighten up. We might gasp, we hold our breath. There are many different systems that come into play in that split second when we realize we're in danger. Memories of a traumatic experience can stimulate that same kind of reflex. It's no longer appropriate in the situation now, and yet we are still experiencing that in our body, our breath, our mind, in our thoughts. That's a problem. Whether it's the intrusive flashbacks of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, or whether it's the images that come to mind, the compelling catastrophic images, we need to find a way to work with them so that we're not at their mercy. And that is very possible. Thought is composed of words or images. Take a step back. Notice that you're actually looking at images. Images have color and shape. If we're looking at the images of words, we could see that some of the letters are curved. There's space in O's and D's and A's. Some of them are circular, some of them have straight lines. There is a certain arrangement of letters, and they mean something to us. It's a bit easier to step back with words and images if there's no corresponding energy or sensation in the body. If there is, it makes the words feel a lot more true. But either way, we can work with just the words or just the images to start. Then we'll come back to the energy in the body. Day 4 in this course is all about working with the energy in our body. We'll get into it in a very detailed way, so that we're not stuck in that cycle of words, images, and energy reacting in the body. Images come in as a still photo or as a video clip. With words, we hear it in our mind, and we can also look at them as though they're written out. Our memory can reproduce sound in an amazingly complex way, the same tone of voice, or from the same person's voice that we originally heard them. We work with eyes closed and see images in our mind's eye. Other times we work with the eyes open. We put the picture on a wall across from ourselves. This helps to remind us that we're looking at an image or hearing something. We're not actually back in the situation. At the beginning, the mind just seemed so mysterious to me. I had a lot of unhealed trauma at that time, and many things were going on in my mind. There was a lot of compulsion, catastrophic worst-case scenario thinking. My body reflected it. My shoulders were up around my ears, and I was never really at peace from the thoughts in my mind. It's encouraging to know that we can actually understand our mind, our nervous system, our brain. It's actually a complex system, but it's easy to get the basics. Mindfulness is such an important part of many people's practice and day right now. It's becoming so well known that we can watch our mind, we can watch our system, we can watch our reactions. And as we do, we learn more about ourselves. We're able to heal a lot of the patterns that are currently making us suffer. So to sum it up, thought comes in as words that we hear or see, and images that we see. Images are colors and shapes. The content of our thought arises from our pool of associations and memories and experiences. Thoughts just come in. Sometimes we get very attracted to them and we pay a lot of attention to them, really to the point where we're not all that aware of what's going on in the moment in our actual lives. We're absorbed in thoughts, often about the past. This happens especially if it's a negative thought or if it has a hook on it. There's some kind of danger in it. We're very much compelled to pay attention to that kind of thought. Many people experience a high level of distress in their nervous system and their brain and their thoughts. Understanding that we have a survival system that reacts and responds to our present moment experience based on the evidence from the past has been very helpful for me to really understand and let go of the idea that I should have a different system, that my mind should be different than it is. Many people shame themselves for having a body, a survival system, a nervous system, a brain that acts in a certain way. Really, it's just the human condition. If we can accept that and start to see that, then we can work with it. That is the way that we get freedom from this compulsion, freedom from the primitive brain running the show, freedom from fears in the past causing this reactivity in the present. Of the three types of thoughts, neutral, positive, or negative, neutral thoughts come and go. We don't have a lot of feeling or sensation with neutral thoughts. They tend not to create a storm in the mind. They just come, they're here, they have whatever shelf life they have, then they dissolve. Thoughts that are positive or negative generate a certain response in our body. The response can be other thoughts, can be sensations, energies, feelings. Thoughts with negative energy have more urgency, and this is because of our survival system. If our ancestors hadn't noticed danger, they would not have survived to reproduce. So our systems have a very strong bias towards noticing danger. That's how people survive. In our current life, this system doesn't always work very well, but that's the one we're stuck with. We do have ways that we can work directly with it so that we can help to reduce our individual stress and work with the thoughts and the energy that are creating this environment of danger and hypervigilance. This feeling that I'm just not okay, there's something wrong with me. We're not living in an easy time. We need to learn to emotionally self-regulate, to calm ourselves down. There are many ways to do that: breathing, relaxation practices, limiting our intake of violent images, building resilience, being in nature, being around people we can co-regulate with emotionally. We can't do anything about our system. That's just how the system works. We are always scanning in the world to see what's dangerous or potentially dangerous. And as we're doing that, we're bringing in the information that's dangerous first. We're not really paying that much attention to the positive. Our main priority as an organism is to live. And as a human being, we want to enjoy our life. We have to bring our higher level brain functioning into the experience of our daily life. Let's talk about some specific forms of thought and how to work with them. There are three tools that we use: tapping, tracing, and changing our focus. There are several types of anxious thoughts. One of them is ruminating. I'm sure we've all had the experience of having an interaction with someone, and then later on we think of the perfect thing that we could have said. We try to rewrite an experience because we need it to turn out differently. We want to experience feeling some sense of agency during that time. So we go over and over it in our mind. Ruminating is one type of intrusive thinking that can really grab our attention and hold it for a long period of time. What if, or catastrophic thinking, is where we go over the worst possible outcome. This is partly a function of the primitive brain, and we develop habits of this. Once these habits get some momentum, we need to do something to interfere. First off, we need mindfulness practices. We observe our breath, we observe our system, what's going on in our body, our thoughts, and we notice, oh, there's that stream of thought again, or I'm entertaining a worst-case scenario. It hasn't actually happened, and yet my body feels like it's happening right now. When we have something that's serious and intense, or we're worried about something that might happen, it's natural for us to think ahead. The trouble is that most of these thoughts about the future are associated with worst-case scenarios. Part of this is our natural survival mechanism, where we are more interested in and pay attention to possible danger than we do to anything else. Mindfulness practices give us the awareness that something is coming up that's unhelpful, and we can work with ways to interrupt them. Catastrophic thinking is when helpful planning becomes compulsive and counterproductive. Our primitive brain does not have the skill to negotiate the modern-day world, the speed and the images that flood our brain. Our brain developed to react to first-hand threat, and we don't really know how to handle this type of distance threat. We don't have a way to protect ourselves, and we feel powerless and alarmed. We lose access to our higher level of wisdom and intuition. Once we are aware, through mindfulness, that we have a pattern of what-if catastrophic thinking or ruminating, then the next thing is to interrupt it, and it's actually relatively easy to do. A simple form of tapping can help us to remember that we're not actually in a situation, either in the past or an imagined scenario in the future. Bring up an image or an image of words or the sound of words. Focus on it for a moment until they're quite vivid in your mind. And then bring two fingers up to your forehead and tap on your forehead just above your eyebrows in the center. And as you're tapping, bring your attention away from the images and away from the sound, and just bring your attention into the sound of the tapping and the feel of the tapping on your forehead. And then bring your hand down and look at the image again or bring up the words again. Notice if it feels the same as it did a moment ago. Try tapping a few more times. The key is to transfer your attention only to the sound and sensation of the tapping. Tracing can be done with the eyes open or closed. Let's use an example with the eyes open. Bring up an image and look at it as though it's on a wall or a window across from you. This is a thought that we're looking at. And now see if you can put a frame around the edges of that picture so that you can see space around the outside edges. Notice that this is an image. There's space all around the outside of the frame. Notice your breath. Stay grounded in your body. And then look at the image in the frame. Notice the details. Then notice the frame. And then notice the space around the frame. Take your eyes around clockwise a few times and counterclockwise a few times, just in the space on the outside of the frame. When you're finished, look back at the image again. You can do this with images or with images of words. We can also use a narrow to a wide-angle lens while we're working with images and words. Let's use an example of words that are written out in our mind's eye for this. With your eyes open, put the words on the other side of the room. Maybe it's one word, like shame, or a sentence, you're no good. Notice that the word or words are on the other side of the room. Notice that some of the letters are curvy, some of them have circles with space in the middle, some of them are straight lines. Notice the font as well. Is it dark, heavy? Does it feel threatening? Are those words, as you're looking at them, disturbing or make you feel uncomfortable? And then notice the space in between the letters. Notice the space in between the words. Notice the space between you and the words. Those words are way over there on the wall. And now notice the space behind the words. And then go right back to looking at the shapes, the circles, the straight lines, the curvy ones. The space in letters like O and D and G. And then come back to looking at the words as they make sense, as they have meaning. And notice your response now. Tapping, tracing, and changing our focus are three simple ways that we can work with troubling thoughts. We notice the thoughts through mindfulness practice, and we know that they're not helpful. We use these simple tools to remove the intensity. We're not actually at the mercy of our thoughts. Join me for day 4. You'll see how to overcome the fear of trauma stored in your body and to nurture the capacity for welcoming and knowing more.